Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC here, and fellow speaker Nat is here with us again. He's a two-time native speaker over here, and now he's back for some more.
Hey y'all, my name is Nat, and I'm a political consultant, but on this evening we're going to be talking about Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2.
So yeah, we're going to do... My correspondent that we and me we're going to cover what Home Alone and Home Alone 2 meant for us and how we watched it and all that good stuff. So today's title is going to be Home Alone as a Franchise, where it was then, where it is now, and everything in between. So what typically was the plot line that followed Home Alone 1?
Well, Home Alone 1... I was about this boy named Kevin McAllister who wanted to go with his family to Paris for the Christmas holidays, but through some quirk of fate, he was left home alone. And the movie talks about his adventures and escapades while he was there home alone, and how frantic his mama and daddy were in Paris trying to get back home to get back to Kevin.
True. They were very frantic, and I actually had a similar experience. So, when I was like, I think 8 years old, around his age, I did something similar, but not as long as Kevin. But I went on the football field with a college game for UVA and the Cavaliers, I think, and I memorized the route that we took every single year that we went to the game. We went to the game several times. I remember the route all the way back to the car. And I was taking that route back. I went on the field. They didn't know where I was. My mom and my brother were waiting at the field. My dad went along trying to look for me. And I was about to cross the road into the parking lot. I was stopped by the officer. I think a woman at the time was saying that I was alone looking for my parents, so they put me in the car. Funny thing is, I think my dad didn't have his ID, so when he got to the police car, he couldn't open it, and they couldn't let him inside, so we had to wait for my mom to come all the way back to have her identification, because he left his in the car, in the truck, and she had the keys. So she's coming all the way down. So she presents her ID instead. And it's just one of those things that maybe I could have gone back to the car. But in Kevin's case, he's pretty much home alone. So I don't know if it's similar. But maybe that's why they thought I was like Kevin when I was growing up. Maybe I got in a bunch of mischief and got lost along the way. That's what you think.
The only time something close to that happened was long before this franchise came about. I was 6 years old. I was afraid of thunderstorms, and there came up a cloud over the ocean at the Outer Banks, North Carolina. So I ran frantically in a hotel with my hands over my face like this, and I ran, assuming Mama was right there with me, and I got onto the lift. In the hotel room, and the door shut without Mama getting on the lift with me, and I was, for those brief moments, home alone. I went up to the sixth floor where my room was, and Mama came in the next lift car after, and we reunited in the corridor, and that was basically the closest thing I ever came to being in that situation.
Yeah, I would jump out my window, go to the next neighborhood, take my brother with me. He's like 2 years old, and I'm 5 years old. I did a lot of things as a kid. I'm very mischievous. I think I'm more like Kevin than I thought would be.
Well, you're more like him than I was. I didn't know. I didn't get a lot of trouble for what I did. Where I got in trouble was with what I said.
Squirrel.
But let me get into the movie. So he's home alone, but there's a sting of burglaries in the area. So those are actually burglars targeting houses in the neighborhood. And I think they pick his house and actually create startup drama because he prepares to fight them off.
And boy, does he put up a fight. I mean, at that age, I never would have thought string together paint cans and roll those fools upside the head.
True, or you do one big dumbbell going all the way down after the paint can's already hit. Like, woo.
They already fell for it one time, and then this huge battering ram comes down the stairs.
I tell you one thing, that put him in the hospital, all right.
Oh, yeah. But they're like they were exhibifying tune for us. It was weird because they kept getting injured. But it was like they just got back up.
Well, Marv and Harry were every bit as resilient as they were stupid.
So they were doing it as the thieves. I guess that makes sense because it would be not much plot if they were incapacitated.
No, if he'd have killed them off right there, we'd have had a lot of time.
Incapacitated means they're out of action. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily be written out of the story like that.
No, we just want to maim them good, that's all.
Well, it didn't. Not enough punches would actually last.
Well, the thing I like about it, he gets all this stuff ready, but how does a child purchase all these items around his house? Like, why is his house so perfectly situated and him to get access to these supplies?
Well, half of the stuff, it was already in his daddy's basement, and all he had to do was assemble it. Wasn't like he went to Ace Hardware and all.
Yeah, he did that in Home Alone 2. He did that in Home Alone 2. But
a resourceful young cuss, we gotta give him credit for that. I'm from around the country. I just would have gotten my shotgun and blown him away.
Okay. Interesting.
But I also personally relate to how not only was he able to defend them off, but in the movie, maybe even he needed help when least expected.
Well, that's the thing about both Home Alone franchises. At the very last, it looked as though the burglars had finally caught up with Kevin, and he needed some outside help that you wouldn't expect. And in both cases, it was a character that was outcast. In Home Alone 1, it was Marley. And in Home Alone 2, it was a pigeon lady.
Yeah, she was definitely a pigeon holder.
That's right. But in both cases, those folks came through for Kevin in the clutch, all because he treated them well when so many others mistreated them. And they were there for him when he needed some kind of help the most.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm still thinking of how the zip line was being affected in Home Alone 1. And he went to the treehouse, fooled them, and then they were trying to go out there and cut the wire. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Like I say, those Marv and Harry weren't exactly Rhodes Scholars.
True, but at least they fell with grace in the snow. But both take place in windows. That's also another recurring theme I just realized.
Well, since both movies are Christmas themed, it would make sense that it would be in the winter. And first one takes place in Winnetka, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And the second one takes place in New York City, and neither place is a very warm in winter.
True. Well, I also think that the characters themselves represented were that how a sequel should be, but also how you can capitalize on the original and give them a totally new story. What was interesting in Home Alone 1, I believe, they went and just left him at... They were going on vacation, the family was, and they just left him at home. And it's slightly different in the second movie. I think, was it Florida they'll go in the second movie?
Yeah, they were going Miami, Florida in the second.
What about the first movie?
First movie, they were going Paris, France.
Oh, so they're quite interesting. So both movies, they're going to two different locations, but one is closer than home and one's like overseas. So it would make sense for the first movie overseas to be far away and not get back in time for days. But New York wasn't necessarily days. It was literally down the East Coast.
Well, that's neither here nor there. In both cases, Kevin was not where he was supposed to be. In the first case, there was a power failure in the night, which caused the family to oversleep. And in that confusion, Kevin missed the van that took the rest of the family to the airport. In the second movie, Kevin made the van all right, but he got lost from his family in the airport. They went down one concourse at O'Hare, and he went down another, which is why his family went to Miami where they should have gone, and he was in New York City.
True. F, it's funny that they made sure he was in the van the second movie, but they didn't make sure that he was in lock. They should have been hiding him on a leash. What do you think?
Well, if they'd done that, they would have had about 75 minutes of dead time on the movie. And so that would just kill the rest of the plot. They'd had a long, boring, rainy trip to Miami. And
The thing is, typically that doesn't usually happen. So how does I get the huge family was the reason why they forgot him. But like most people are not going to forget the people going on vacation if they want them to go.
Well, let me explain how I say that could happen. On the first one, they all overslept and the van that took them to the airport was there and everybody was in a rush. And the main objective was to get to the van before it left without them.
Yeah.
And I can see where a family that size, they'd forget somebody in that case. You just have to see the movie again. I believe you can get it on streamed on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie. It's, oh well. It's there. But it's interesting how not only did they forget him, but he had all this time to do everything he wanted when he was home alone for the first movie. It was, what was your favorite movie? I think mine was probably the ice cream moment, like him eating everything all at once and just having everything they would say no to.
Yeah, I like that part of him being able to let loose and do stuff he'd never be able to do with anybody else in the house with him. But I also liked when he was planning for the burglars to come in. And I like how he used that old mob movie to scare the burglars away when he had a pretty good idea that we're outside.
Yeah. He did that. That came back in the second movie, too.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, gosh. We can talk about the second movie next. But yeah, it's interesting how he went to the neighbor's house, did that confusing fact, and they thought he wasn't home, and then it just set up perfectly. But how would the neighbor have known that he was in trouble at that point to get to that moment?
Well, that's a good question, and the same question could be asked in the second movie. How'd the pigeon lady know to be right there when Kevin needed him after he slipped on the ice and the burglars were fixing to take him into the park and kill him?
Well, she was already in the park, so she happened.
It's a great big park. I mean, it was just dumb luck and happenstance that she was in that part of the park at the same time he needed her.
True. What do you think it's more like? Did the neighbor come to the aid at the time he did, or the lady in the park?
I'd say it'd be about equal.
Well, it'd be about equal. It'd be more likely the neighbor would be there than the lady in the park, as big as it is.
Well, that's true, but it is Christmas, and the neighbor could be in South Boston, Virginia, for all we know.
True, but it's more likely the neighbor could have been there. While the neighbor's an older man, so why would he be somewhere else if he had no place to go? That was kind of his stick.
Well, hermits have to go out and eat every now and then.
Well, you're not that big of a hermit, are you?
I mean, I'm not a hermit myself. My brother is, so...
Oh, yeah. We're not getting into that one. Leave that one unsaid. But, yeah, I think... Well, you know, if we're going to go to the second move, we have to go... Okay, what did the family learn the first time, but still mess up the second move?
Well,
The McAllister family.
McAllister family, they're real good about getting everybody in the van the second time. They made it as far as the airport, but they were pressed to catch their flight, and they went running down the right concourse, and Kevin, not too far behind, went down the left concourse, and that's how it happened. I think the McAllister family made a mistake. It's just that Kevin on the second one zigged when he should have zagged.
But how? But wouldn't they have a ticket? I mean, like, you have to present the ticket at before you check in? Because they usually do that.
Well, this was 1992 when the second one true, and I can see how in a rush the that could be overlooked. And I've been to O'Hare Airport with a very narrow connection, and I can see where a person could go down the wrong concourse. I was in that part of the airport when I was flying coast to coast one time. So yeah, I can see where this could happen even now. But to get to your point, today they would have been able to check it on the ticket since they scan those things now.
True, it's not like the train station. You're the older movie. They say, "Ticket, please, ticket." The Polar Express. I need your ticket. Don't lose your ticket. And just click, click, click.
Yeah, there you go. And I know.
I love the Polar Express.
Yeah, that clicker is all gone to some museum somewhere.
If it was ever go. But yeah, well, after we have them losing him at the airport, he goes to New York. It just so happens that he goes to a place that his uncle is not there.
Well, no.
Home alone again?
Well, no. His uncle's one of the people that's on the Miami trip with him, as I understand it. And
but he just happens to go to a place where there's a house that he could possibly get to that he knew that was abandoned.
Well, he knew that his uncle had property in New York City. And why he holed up in there is because he caught Marv and Harry trying to rob Mr. Duncan's toy store, and he had photographic evidence, and they were coming after him, and he knew it.
True. So I guess he did need a house to accept. Well, yeah, it does make sense. But, photograph of them in the act again, it was pretty funny. But them coming to New York, and he's in New York, that's too coincidental.
Well, yeah, but that's why the movie was made. I never will forget. Marv and Harry just happened to be standing behind him, and they saw his name and hometown, Winnetka, Illinois, on his backpack, and that's when they started after him, and that's when Kevin knew he was in real trouble, and that's why. Cut mud to his uncle's place.
True. The hotel scene in New York was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. The hotel staff, particularly the desk staff, didn't appear to be too much smarter than Marv and Harry.
It's funny because he not only did he trick the doorman to let him come through, but also when they confronted him about being loved, but on the same every Christmas, you filthy animal. But this time, it's on the gunfire again. Like, come on.
like I say, the Plaza Hotel back in 92 must not have held scholars.
Well, I don't know. I mean, at least in the first movie, he bought some supplies, but that was more common, but he checked in a hotel this time. And I think he fooled them through fake story. What was the cover story again? You remember?
He said that his daddy was with him, and he took... I think he had his daddy's card with him, and that's how he's able to check in and run up all those charges that were that they confronted him with at the tail end of the movie.
True, and then the McAllisters find that the charges are on the card, and they say, oh, he's in New York. He's just charged the account.
And when they flag the card, that's when the desk agent started going after him, and he did that mob movie.
So they get on him, tell that he found out why he was there, not with anyone. So they really did try to secure him according to state laws, but still wasn't able to do it. So he was able to get out.
Well, because he was by then a 10-year-old boy, and he just outsmarted him. What can I say?
True. Do you feel like the hotel staff was at least smaller than Harry and the crew?
Well, that's like being taller than Danny DeVito. Harry and Marv weren't that smart, but I wouldn't think the hotel staff were 5-time Return Jeopardy champions either.
True, but I mean, at least with the hotel stuff, it's more believable.
Well, yeah, well, it was more than just happenstance that Kevin should meet Harry and Marv in New York. But that's why the movie's made. That made what the movie is. Just roll with it.
True. That's also apparent. But it's also when they discovered that the card was missing and that Kevin actually had access to it. How did that happen? It was just out of his bag or he took it?
I believe he took it. I don't know why he took it, but that's the whole reason he had a relatively comfortable place to stay for most of the movie.
True, but well, you see the reversal because he's home alone in the first movie. Then he binges on all of the stuff he shouldn't do. And then he's in the hotel, binging on all the luxury that he didn't have in his home life. And this time, having limited money to be able to do it, too. So this time he can get anything he wanted within reason, while the other one he was experimenting what he could get away with.
Yeah, that's true. But the stuff that he got, it was very luxurious and everything, but he was in the Plaza Hotel, and he got what he needed to eat and have a little fun. And basically, if I were in that situation, I don't think I would have done too much different than what he did.
True, and I don't think the McAllister family can dispute the charges, because it's not fraud.
Well, I'm sure he probably worked that off until about now.
Probably so, if you have another move. But, well, I mean, back to the robbery at the toy store. They robbed the toy store, so they haven't learned any new lesson. But the photograph is now targeting Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin gives them an address to follow them home?
No, Kevin, the address I was talking about was on his backpack. That's his home address back in Winnetka.
Well, yeah,
only how they knew that was the same cat that they dealt with 2 years earlier.
Well, how were they able to get him back? How were he able to get them back to the uncle's house to lure them in another trap?
I think he put himself out there as bait because he knew they were gonna try to come after that photo, and he made it known that he was gonna be at such and such an address at about such and such a time. And he just put himself out there, but he had a welcome wagon waiting for him.
True, but the things this time around wasn't really as thought out. He didn't have much time to prepare. He had some time, but it was more simple.
Well, see, in the first one, he was doing it from his own house, and he had all the time in the world, like you say, but this time he was at another place that wasn't as familiar to him, but he managed to improvise right well, like that blowtorch.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was a masterpiece.
Yeah, and then they're like, well, you're not going to get with the paint can, and then the drum comes down. The cans, and they pretend, and then no. Boom. Back to square one.
Yeah. You have to admit, the spider was pretty funny in the first movie.
I'm thinking spider now. That was, that Transylla was golden.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Buzz's fighter.
I think they bit him or they threw the arrows at him.
I think, I'm going to say it landed in either, well, Marv had a thicker head of hair, so I'm going to say the spider was in Marv's hair.
Yeah.
And he had a time trying to get it out.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I think the improvised scene with the air duct was interesting in New York. He actually flew out of the air duct and...
Yeah, that was an escape route out the building.
But they didn't expect that to be an escape route, though. They thought they trapped him and he was out.
Well, those, like I say, Marv and Harry were none too smart. So I don't think, like you, well, I'm smarter than they are. I bet you I could have hoodswankled them just as good as old Kevin did.
Oh, yeah. With your mighty shotgun, too.
So, well, through the understanding, well, both of us prevent a crime, or at least documented that a crime happened. But what was the emphasis that New York of being the revenge, meet them again type of deal? Well, what was the significance of that?
Well, it was really a revenge thing. It was kind of, it didn't start out that way because neither Marv and Harry knew that Kevin was coming to New York, nor did Kevin know that Marv and Harry were in New York. So it was the second meeting was a happenstance thing. But once Marv and Harry knew Kevin was in New York, it became to be that because he administered quite a few lumps on their head 2 years earlier.
True, and they definitely were very bitter about the first result in the arrest.
Yeah, I expect they did at least a little bit of jail time in Illinois.
Or they did jail time, and then didn't they escape? I don't think they got released. I think they escaped on the run.
Yeah, I want to say they escaped because back then they were actually prosecuting criminals in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, they probably escaped to get rid of capital punishment.
No, burglary, not a capital offense, but they would have done a good 5-10 years in jail anyhow.
True. But, well, they also had other stuff on the record, too. So there are other priors that they were also being booked for as well.
Well, I don't know the whole legal ramifications, but I really do believe they would have been a guest to the people of Illinois for quite some time, at least for the rest of the millennium.
True.
Because that was 1990. We'll say they would serve about 10 years.
Yeah. Wasn't also a scene of the giant tree in New York as well?
Yes, at the near the end of the second movie. That's where he met up with the pigeon lady, say goodbye to her.
Yeah, the good old farewell. Thanks for this, but I gotta be going.
Well, he did give her the other half of the turtle dove that Mr. Duncan gave him to cement the friendship.
True. Oh, wait, they knew each other, didn't they?
Well, they didn't know each other from before. It was that they became friends, and you know, she was just like Marley in the first episode. Everybody, you know, just cast her aside, thought she was some sort of a creep, and nobody but Kevin would have anything to do with.
Was it Mr. Duncan, the toy shop owner?
Yeah, Mr. Duncan was a toy shop owner.
And then they have like a long-standing friendship. They just didn't know where each other were, or something like that.
No, I don't think he knew Mr. Duncan before he went to.
No. Not I'm talking about the pigeon lady and Mr. Duncan.
I don't know that they had a relationship.
Well, if the turtle dove connects back, I think that.
Well, no, the Mr. Duncan gave that to Kevin.
Oh.
Because he donated some money to charity.
Oh.
And because of that, you get Kevin the turtle dove, and of course after he got Marv and Harry put back in jail. Mr. Duncan gave him a whole lot more than that at the end of the show.
True. Hopefully enough to pay back all the luxurious experiences at the Hotel Plaza.
Well, no, what Mr. Duncan gave him was a whole lot of toys and everything, and I guess he had to sell those to pay that back, but that wasn't covered in the movie.
So I guess the family flies to New York and gets them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they flew up from Miami at the very last. Once they figured out that he was in New York based on the credit card history.
Yeah, and I think they met up at the uncle's house.
No, I think they met at the Plaza Hotel. No, I think he was also at that Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, and he was all wishing for his mom, and there she came.
I don't know. Which one do you think of either Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2 was like more heartfelt movie?
I would say both equally, but I prefer, even in the rare instance where a movie sequel is good, I 99% of the time still prefer the original.
True. Though him being lost in New York and actually being lost in a different city was probably kind of cool for the second movie, since he got lost the first time.
Well, the being lost in a place that he was unfamiliar with, that did add another layer of danger. That's for sure. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I like it better.
Well, you don't have to like it better. I mean, just like when we did when Frankenstein had a sequel, which was The Bride of Frankenstein. That was like one of the better sequels of all time, that people say. So not every sequel is like Bride of Frankenstein equivalent to Home Alone 2. But Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 have a similar application of likability, standing within the franchise, you know, influencing other spinoffs, like other related movies and shows. But those are not as relevant because they're not the main character of Kevin McAllister. There's something about Kevin is the one that you kind of want to see more of.
And that's true. Both of them are, even though there's some violence and crime involved, I think they're...
Oh, it's pretty petty.
They're both played down. They're both basically lighthearted Christmas theme movies that, you know, sort of make you feel good at the end when you see it.
Yeah. The family gets back together somehow. They don't have not much police as the first movie, but definitely going to the public setting in the airport. I guess the police this time around was really the hotel people being the concierge, like, you go get them. But I don't know if, the police or the security is equivalent in that case. I would say the police is better.
Yeah. One thing that was missing in the second one that I really liked, the struggle that Kate, Kevin's mama had to go through getting home from Paris. She had to fly from Paris to Dallas, Texas, to Scranton, and then she had to ride in a moving van with a polka band in Kenosha, dropping her off in Winnetka, Illinois.
Yeah, that is very interesting. She was very resourceful to get all the way back to make sure Kevin was okay.
That's where Kevin gets his resourcefulness from. I mean, the dad in the movie,
he's a pretty
nice fellow, but he's about as dense as an overdosed coffee.
I think he kind of contributed to the problem of leaving him alone and stuff.
Yeah, he wasn't a Rhodes Scholar either.
And somehow let your credit card get taken. Of course it has to be the dad, it's not the mom's credit card. Of course she would protect her credit card better.
Oh yeah, well, women protect those credit cards like a doorman protects a steak bone.
True. You can't complain about it, though. In the scheme of things, I think with Home Alone and Home Alone 2 being the way they were, I really feel like it captured the essence of what the movie was trying to capture. But it also gave a more sense of detail, suspension, and overall a good starting point to start out a new storyline after the first movie. So it was a good storyline, good circumstances, everything made chronological sense. It was as though you just showed up randomly. There was a reason why they showed up. There's a backstory why they showed up. They just happened to be at the same place again. Which, you know, it's a common trend in movies and TV shows to do that. Meet up with an old friend or an old enemy. That type of thing.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up the Home Alone as a franchise, what do you want to say?
Well, after Home Alone 2, I didn't see any of the other attempts to recreate that magic. I think they should have just stopped right there.
It wasn't really much.
I mean, you make my point for me. They should have just stopped right there and let the royalties flow in.
True, and still we played on movies today.
Yep,
you
can still find it on, unfortunately, Disney Plus.
Well, true, but you can also watch it on TV. So that rerun comes on that marathon. Guess what? Home Alone, at least Home Alone, is definitely on the docket. And then sometimes they do back-to-back, Home Alone and Home Alone 2, in the same day.
I tell you what, find out what channel or streaming platform does it, and I'll make sure I watch it, because those Home Alone 1 and 2 are among two of my favorite movies, and I don't see that many movies in my life.
Screw. Home Alone is definitely one of the movies I rewatch. I don't rewatch a lot of movies, so Home Alone and sometimes Harry Potter are like one of the few movies I rewatch. But Harry Potter was totally different because my brother be watching, I'll be watching nothing. So, yeah, there you go.
You know, you make a good point. Once I see a movie, I very rarely, if ever, rewatch it. And that also goes for the Star Wars trilogy. Star Wars was a good trail of movies, but it wasn't a way of life. But Home Alone, I can see that every Christmas.
It was fine. So you can watch it probably twice. It's just like, what's that Christmas movie? What a Wonderful Life?
Yeah,
what do you watch every year?
Home Alone and Home Alone 2 or the It's a Wonderful Life of my generation.
Yes, it is definitely very much so. And I actually like it very much so because of that. So basically, this wraps up this episode of Home Alone as a franchise. Where can they find you, Nat, if they like your correspondence?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. Twitter X. On Facebook, I'm /SmallTownSouthernMan. Twitter X, I'm @WreckOf097.
All right. Well, that is the end of this episode, guys. Thanks for being here. See you later.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.